Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Oof, well, hopefully everybody you have on all of your black attire for this one, maintaining any sort of composure. I'm not going to reveal what is in this glass. It is something that will make me a bit more docile to get through this stuff. This episode that is undoubtedly going to be filled, Andy, with some GIF-worthy
will we
gems.
Will we ask people to join our Patreon for this one?
Are we help going us to supply the stuff to get through this?
Yeah,
Patreon.com/RomaPress.
There you go.
@IceRomaPress.
@IceRomaPress.
YouTube.
Yeah.
All social that good media. Stuff. This is the
like,
most
subscribe.
I'm going to be. Yeah.
No,
like,
but
subscribe.
But my question was, I've noticed since Roma have been on a downward spiral, to say the least, in the recent months.
I've since been 2010.
I've been noticing that on our YouTube comments, most of the comments bear no relation to what we are saying. Of the comments are just people venting, which I can totally understand. But then I sort of think to myself, well, what are we talking about here for? Like tonight, you know, if I'm a neutral listener, I'm just checking in what we're saying here. What are we supposed to say tonight that will have people going, oh yeah, he's actually.
Wow, that was. Maybe. I hadn't looked at it that way before.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're on to something, these fellas, yeah. You know, like, that's a new perspective, because tonight sort of feels like that game that was bound to happen.
Yes.
That happens, I would say, once every 3 years, 4 years, I would say. You know, like, if I think about the great humiliations, I would have to go back to like really great humiliations. I would have to go back to, oddly enough, the Fiorentina-Roma game 7-1. So we are talking about 2019. That's 5 years ago. And here we are 5 years later, and I've just seen someone on Twitter ask for Claudio Ranieri to come in.
Why not?
Sure.
At this point, it's all on the table. At this point, what am I supposed to come on here and say that is coherent, that is rational? I did say this in the patron post match reaction, because I do want to, you know, the adverts that most of you are going to get for some mobile game or some, I don't know, OnlyFans, OnlyFans adjacent website or something during this video. I don't want to swear, and so we are robbed of the 2 cents or something that we get when somebody served an advert on these YouTube videos. So I will keep the expletives to a minimum. The only thing I did say that I thought sounded reasonably smart, and maybe I just am convincing myself that I'm able to be somewhat intelligent and coherent.
Or maybe
like
you've
this.
Just had a glass too many of Sangiovese.
Yeah, Sangiovese. Everybody knows my drink of choice. Listen, I would actually prefer in this moment that because everybody is saying it, because every time you have a situation like this happen, the radios, for some reason, every other day of the year, they go mad or they go crazy. I want this guy, I want that guy. But then when this happens, the thing you always hear, because they'll bring on guys from, you know, King Maida from Corriere dello Sport, and they will say things along the lines of, we need to be calm in this moment. We need to be rational. No. Actually, I would prefer people not to be. Dan and Ryan freaking, I know you guys don't speak. I know very few people are aware of what your voices sound like. If you have a southern drawl, is it southern draw or drawl?
Drawl.
With an
it's
L?
A drawl. Yeah, John.
Drawl. That's what. Okay.
What the hell?
I don't know what. Okay,
you're
so
the one who's living in the
if
U.S.
They sound like that. If maybe they have some Canadian, maybe they have some very weird accent that I can't make out exactly.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I know they are very, very camera shy. I would actually prefer if they were not rational. Don't be rational. Because in my opinion, being rational, being balanced, being calm, any of that, sort of implies that tonight was normal, that tonight should have been expected. Yes, I know that we count Roma implosions, self-implosions, self-immolation, so to speak, that basically we are essentially on the exact same schedule as the Winter and the Summer Olympics, okay? Every 2 years, we just have to, is it going to happen, you know, in October or November? Is it going to happen in March and April? It happens every other year. I understand that this is something we've grown used to. I said this in the previous episode. There's nothing normal about the things we endure. It is abnormal, okay, for us. In my lifetime alone, Matt, I am in my 30s. If I just go through in my lifetime, okay, the number of 5-1, 7-1, 6-2, abnormal score lines that they could be an American football scoreline, okay? It is not normal. It is not normal. This is not normal. And if I have to hear rational, balance, anything akin to the lines of, well, we have to stay calm. Yeah, that's worked out very well for us in the past. So let's just keep doing that thing where we just act like this is no big deal. Now, this is a big deal.
No, of course it's a big deal. I think we all agree on that. There is nobody that will say it's not a big deal. I mean, every single other Roma website has already published an article of all the coaches available in Europe right now that we can hire with Juric certainly to be sacked. Who knows what will happen on that front?
Let me just tell you, hold on, Andy. I'm going to warn everybody now. If Dan and Reinfeldt get into their minds to appoint Claudio Ranieri, you will not be seeing a person here. You will see an urn with the remaining ashes of here sitting in my place in the next episode. I am telling you that it sounds stupid, but the mental toll this takes, having to go through this time and time again, this is the least fun thing to do ever. And then on top of that, we also have our patrons who I sympathize with them, because when this sort of crap happens, as often as it does to us, you don't know how to take it. You don't know how to act. It makes it all the worse that we were just subjected to Inter Juve before, which was, I won't say champagne football, but it was entertaining, and you had two very high-level teams going at it.
I just want to point out also how stupid the scheduling of the Lega Serie A was.
Yeah,
why would you ever,
this thing with
why
Milan,
would you ever too, have gosh. Why would you ever have this as your Sunderland entertainment compared to Inter Juve 2 hours before that? It makes no sense. But yes, absolutely, this stood out. And John, as always, in typical Roma fashion, you can't just have a complete dismantling of this team based on a result. You will have single night, as always, you have 5-1. You have Eduardo Bove scoring, which, mind you, I have to point out once again to all the people, because there is also immediately people that are and websites that are writing, well,
how
Bove,
could they do this?
Bove being the emblem
the last year and a half.
Emblem of what's wrong with Roma. I once again have to point out, Bove is at Fiorentina because Daniele De Rossi was in favor of his sale. Daniele De Rossi was not playing him at all. Okay, just want to point that out, because there are many things wrong with Roma right now. Eduardo Bove being at Fiorentina is not. He's not the emblem of what's wrong, because Eduardo Bove left by the consensus of Daniele De Rossi. And then obviously the most poetic of all, Mats Hummels, finally makes his debut for Roma. First ball he touches, and it's an own goal. You know, like, that's, so I just want to, like, because it's
hold
not
on,
even about the result
for that though, man, because I agree with you here, man. What a shit thing to do, man. That is crap.
It's always crap, but that's what I want to say, is that whenever these things happen to Roma, it's not just the result that just takes the wind out of your sails. It's how it happens.
Yes.
Every single time, it's how it happens. I always remember the worst defeats that we've always suffered have been nothing short of embarrassing, but not because of the result, but everything that contributes to that result. And that makes it feel even more humiliating. I can list you so many games where Roma would get, you know, a new signing would play and get a red card, and then someone else would get an injury. I mean, let's remember the game where Porto destroyed us in 2016-17. Remember the return leg. How does it happen with Emerson getting a red card and Daniele De Rossi getting a red card? And you just think to yourself, why? Every time these things happen, it always has to feel 10 times worse than for any other team. It always feels like there is some invisible deity right there who just has the time of their life, you know, discharging in unbelievable amounts of excrement right on top of our heads.
It is exactly the way I feel, not only with Roma things, but I think just in life in general. I think many people feel that way. And Roma just seems to be just the cherry on top when you have things going that way in your life. Listen, there's so many things we can get to. Again, I want to remain level-headed for maybe 30 more seconds before I just start turning into Shannon Sharp, Skip Bayless. The thing with Hummels bothers me so much. And listen, it's one thing to be humiliated. It is another thing, though, to, Andy, it felt like Juric sort of frogged March, a champion out. And I almost feel as if in a way that was sort of like planned in some sick, you know, extraterrestrial manner, like the universe decided, yeah, the first touch that Mats Hummels makes as an AS Roma player is going to be an own goal. I don't like anything about what Ivan Juric did tonight. And listen, if I have to eat crow, you know, for being excited about Ivan Juric coming and seeing the final results now, okay, fine. You know, that's nothing new. I thought Alessandro Crescenzi was going to be the next Panucci. I could think of about 50,000 takes of mine that have been absolute shit that everybody else has had. Everybody has bad takes, okay? Juric, I thought they would be good. I was excited. Hey, maybe it is a completely different situation if he gets an entire preseason with this team. I think that's a reasonable assumption, but we can't change the situation. This is what it is. Sack Ivan Juric, hire Cesc calls me, point him, then I get excited, then maybe I don't get utterly depressed to the point where I'm thinking, oh well, how high up is this window? Listen, there are some things tonight just individually that, again, we can be humiliated. The one I always like to go to is the one against Bayern in the Champions League. Do you remember when Pep's Bayern came? It was at the Olympico, yeah, where it was just one-way traffic. Just
you remember stopped. Remember Morgan De Sanctis having, like, Morgan yeah. De Sanctis, I think, I'm not going to say because I could get sued for that, but let's say just Morgan De Sanctis seemed very friendly with Bayern on that night. Like, there are some...
Oh, man. Oh.
Some goals
okay.
there.
So, yeah.
But yes, at least, but it was, I must say, compared to a night like tonight or the 7th one with Fiorentina, that wasn't bad. Like,
that was pure
in my quality. Mind.
That was their quality being about 1 million times that of yours. As much as it sucks when it happens, I will very rarely, when you have instances such as that, will I complain? Will I come on and be infuriated? Tonight, though. Tonight was the exact opposite. And that match was over within the first 10 minutes. It was finished. You could tell within the first 10 minutes that Roma did not have it. And I just want to make it very clear, and we've talked about it dozens of times. Roma, you know how like gamblers, when they go to the casino, they have like a tell. You know, if somebody's like counting cards, they do like some signal. You know, I think of that movie 21 with... just some of the
Kevin Spacey,
yes, with some questionable Spacey acting and some horrible acting and some of the tells and the signals they give to each other. Gamblers have a tell, okay? Roma have a tell. I can't specifically say the exact signs of it. All I know is that you know it when you see it. And they had that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You can tell just within a few short minutes if Roma have it. And you can tell very simply, in my opinion, when it's going to be one of those humiliation nights. Tonight looked exactly like that Coppa Italia. If you remember that Coppa Italia, man, that was like Gio Simeone. That was everybody just come on in.
Stefano Pioli.
Yes, football, yes. You know, so. You get a goal. Who needs a confidence boost? Come on and get a goal.
As that night, everything fell apart today. I mean, Hermoso gets a red card. Hummels touches one single ball and it's an own goal. It's like everything has to fall apart on these nights. You can't, and you know, there is some positive to it where you, because your weaknesses are immediately exposed. Everything that you've done wrong is exposed. There is no hiding behind, you know, a nice motivating messages and you know, encouraging photos of the players saying, well, we can still do it together. No, after a night like tonight, I don't expect us to publish more than maybe two articles because nobody will speak. That's for sure. Like this will be such a, I mean, these are, you know, the first thing I have to do is watch Luciano Spalletti talk to DAZN. So that's another kick in the nuts is, you know, it's sort of like we're confronted with everything that we once had or could have had. There are people today mourning the departure of Eduardo Bove. I'm not one of those people, but I can understand a night like tonight is painful because for people who were already sort of set on seeing this team lose this season. I'm not saying that they're having the time of their lives, but there is certainly a lot of people who will be tonight celebrating the fact that they will get to tell their friends, coworkers, relatives, I told you so. And to me, that's sad. Like those are the worst moments. I was sad when Eusebio Di Francesco was sacked in 2019 because I knew that there were some people there who were saying, I told you so. And that's never a good position to be in. When you have those people, the fans coming out of their shells and sort of openly admitting that they were almost looking forward to their team's defeat, that means that you're in a really bad spot. Right now, Roma are in a bad spot. They've wasted a lot of time between preparing a whole summer with De Rossi at the helm and then sacking him, to then giving Juric a team that you may argue is or isn't fit for what he wants to do on the pitch, to then appointing Juric in a really complicated moment with huge expectations, mishandling a lot of the communication stuff in order to sort of losing completely the grip on the fan base. This is what you get. This is the night that was bound to happen. Like I feel like it was lodged in those. Even like Bodo Glimt did feel the night we lost 6-1 to Bodo. I didn't mention it at first because I think we know what happened afterwards, right? We continued on, and eventually in that same year we won the conference. But that loss, if you think about it, it also was hanging there. Remember, before that, you know, Mourinho kept complaining about the squad and he kept complaining. It was almost like he was waiting for a night like the one against Bodo where everything was exposed, where he would be able to say, you see, that's why I'm not playing Calafiori. You see, that's why I'm not playing Amadou Diawara.
Mayoral. That's when everyone who was a...
Exactly. A Gonzalo Villar, you know, everybody out. Okay. But I think tonight is even worse because tonight there is no message to send out.
Mm.
Tonight is not a night that proves something. I mean, what can you say? That Hummels is not fit to play, that Hermoso is not fit to play, that your midfield. I mean, no, this is the difference. Is we are in October. there is a lot to play for still, despite what everybody says. That's the thing, is that you can, the mindset, I can understand if someone, you know, we're going to get to it, but if the mindset is season is over, that's different. That's a personal opinion, because officially the season is not over. Officially, there is still 6 months left in this season. So we are talking about a team that is in shambles. But I think what when Eusebio Di Francesco and that whole saga with Monchi walking out and Claudio Ranieri coming in, people were on one hand depressed. On the other hand, they were motivated because the season was coming to an end. So you knew more or less that 12 games and you're going to crawl to the finish line, right? Okay. Here, on the other hand, we can't crawl to the finish line. Here, we have six months. Here, we have 6 months left to play, to compete, to try and get Champions League, to try and do something in the Europa League. The problem is that what this team has given us so far is nothing but a feeling of rising major insecurity. And tonight is what you get when a team like Roma is unable to address the issues that we've been complaining about for the last 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. This is what happens. You stumble upon a team like Fiorentina that are not even that good, but are in a good moment, and they'll crush you because they have the answers, whereas you don't.
That is the big question here, because waving the white flag now, to me, is so incomprehensible. It's not as if this is February. It is not as if this is January, when we are accustomed to having to make major concessions on the season and the objectives being lost. The fact that you even said top four there, to me, seeing this team even competing for top six or seven at this point seems like a fantasy, because they seem so lost. Again, being rational in this exact moment is very difficult to do. I'm trying my best. However, I would actually prefer that, again, the freakins don't be rational and they actually do some crazy, go ahead and do some crazy shit, man. I don't know. I mean, it hasn't worked. Staying calm and balanced hasn't done anything.
I just want to say that the Rai Sport just reported that that the Friedkins have already called back Daniele De Rossi. Now, we are recording this right after the game, so all these things that come up usually a few minutes after the event are usually very difficult to trust. At the same time, when this episode will release tomorrow, we'll know more. Because this is what happens on nights like these. It's the truth, all the pent up frustration, all these complicated feelings that we have. That because again, we don't know. You know, Juric's hiring came about in a very odd fashion. Juric comes in, Lina Suluku leaves just a few days later. What does that mean? We don't know. That's the thing. And this the stuff that you hear right after such a beating can go both ways. I do expect the Friedkins to act in some way, or at least something, because tonight, that's the thing. Tonight doesn't send any message. Tonight just sort of brings up everything that's been wrong about this season from preseason up until now.
Well, let's just say it, because we can get it out there now, because now there are certain agents that I am closer with than others. One that Daniele De Rossi just happened to change to is one that I know relatively.
Fali Ramadani. Fali Ramadani.
This is something I don't even think we brought this up in the previous episode, but certainly it is of note now. Daniele De Rossi was previously under the stable of Alessandro Lucci, his agency. He changed. He is now with Ramadani, who has a very large footprint, as we know, not only in Serie A, but all of football. and there are some guys within his agency that I know quite well, asking them, they're being they're trying to be coy and be smart smart asses in the exact moment as we speak. When I ask them about Derossi possibly coming back, it's on the table. I'm just going to say that is something you have to be open to. But realistically, okay, yeah, I would love to see Dan freaking pull some crazy, just something, some crazy shit. I don't know what that would entail. I don't know what would quantify as something mad. Just do something different. But this is certainly, when it comes to the ambiente, as we always like to discuss and make reference to, this is really his first big taste. Yes, he's had some difficult moments with Jose Mourinho. This moment, though, in my opinion, pales in comparison to what he had to endure when Roma were going through that stretch, what, from December or November of last year to January, when it all came to a head against Milan, and then obviously they sacked Jose Mourinho, bringing Daniele De Rossi. I mean, in my opinion, this is so much worse because it happened so early and it happened so strongly. I mean, Andy, Roma have been shit since the beginning of the season. They've been so poor against horrible opposition that the wins that they do have, as few as they have been, they've come by the skin of their teeth, like Venezia, a penalty.
No, and even the game against Dynamo Kiev, that's what we said. Yes. It didn't feel like it, you know, like it almost felt like it was unsatisfying on so many levels. It didn't confirm anything. It didn't prove anything. It almost came about by chance. That was the general feeling. Is on Thursday night when we beat Dynamo Kiev, got our first victory in the Europa League, what was the feeling, John? The feeling was, okay, and so what? Like, what conclusions may we draw from this?
Right. That's exactly it. Realistically, though, as much as I want something mad, you know, Dan freaking to pull something mad out of his magician's hat, realistically, what do you think? Just from your perspective that comes from tonight. In my opinion, Roma are being quiet right now. They're not saying anything. I think they're going to sack Juric.
I do think so. The guy even said it right now. You know, he asked him about whether he feels the pressure, and he says, "You know, this is football, and everything that we've done that was good in 40 days, we've thrown into the toilet." Like he just said it, we've thrown it into the toilet. Those are the words of a man who was disappointed with himself, and I think knows fully well. Where this leads to. And again, Juric has been in some tough context, and if you look back on his career, he knows what being sacked means. And I do think that tonight is inevitable for him to draw the conclusion that his job at Roma is over. It's, to, in my opinion, again, I'm sorry for reiterating the same things, but for me, the one thing that bugs me about Roma is that, as predictable as they are, the fans are even more predictable, because I hate it when there is a good chunk of people out there whose reaction to this will be good. Good. For me, it's never good. For me, you know, I may like someone, I may not like someone. I didn't say who it is.
It's not Romanista.
But it's not even that. I'm just really speaking in general. Like, I may like, I didn't like Rudy Garcia. Never went against him. I didn't like Eusebio Di Francesco, but I was sad to see the state my team was in when he was sacked. Those are the things. Like, If you come to a situation like tonight, the situation is bad. The situation is bad, and nobody should be rejoicing, because even if you call back Daniele De Rossi, where is the guarantee that the situation will turn around? Where was the guarantee that the situation would turn around when De Rossi was at the helm? Those are the things. Like, we are talking about so many possibilities. There is so much uncertainty. The last thing I would like people to do is to, you know, gloat and be like, "Ha ha! I told you so."
Yeah.
Because What I think we've all seen, regardless of what we think about the coach and the players, is that since Mourinho's sacking, and even in the months leading up to that, so basically for the last year or so, Roma have been a mess. Like,
yes,
after Budapest, Roma have been a certified mess. Daniele De Rossi's appointment in January helped put a Band-Aid on that situation, but the Band-Aid wasn't hard enough to contain it. There were issues emerged even at the end of last season. Remember, John, that dreadful run, really, after Bayer Leverkusen, that was the last time Roma showed anything under De Rossi, some yep. kind of pride, some kind of everything else dissolved. Going into the season, it felt like everything was mismanaged. And tonight is the culmination of this. So tell me, please, someone, where should I be happy? Why should I be happy that tonight brings to light everything that's been done wrong? This is no, you know, this is no laughing matter. It's not a cause for joy. It sucks for Juric, but it sucks also for Roma, because
yes,
whatever illusion we may have had of Roma rebuilding, Roma moving in a different direction, well, we were all wrong. Nobody was right.
No, and there's no winners, too. That's the other thing that you point out that bothers me. And when you have these smarmy group of supporters who, listen, when we, whether it's you or I coming on here or something we tweet out, something we say on here, you know, coming back and trying to throw it in my face, your face, anybody's face, you know, even the colleagues of ours that I do not like, King Maida, for instance, other than when he steals interviews and doesn't give proper attribution. I don't take joy when people go attack people like that for an opinion they have. I don't understand that, because at the end of the day, if you're supporting Roma like we are, nobody's winning. I mean, we're all losing, having to be subjected to this crap. I mean, it is painful. And if the only victory, so to speak, that somebody's going to get is, you know, say, ha-ha, see, I told you, they'd all see, they never should have sacked him, I don't really know what that accomplishes. As far as just moving forward, because, listen, even though it feels as if we have had both of our legs cut out from underneath us, there is still 6 months to go, which is still a daunting, daunting thought, man. The death march has started. And again, we have to do this without legs, it seems like. I think they're going to sack Juric. They're saying all options are on the table. That doesn't mean anything. That means nothing. Okay, thanks. All options are on the table. I don't know how that answers the question as to what they are going to do, but I don't expect them to say anything right now so soon after the match. De Rossi calling him back. Fundamentally, there is something I never like doing this, because this is just like the Zamparini playbook, man. And by the way, you have to receive full credit and full plaudits, because you said, I believe, 3 weeks ago that this is exactly like the season of Napoli of last year. And you are exactly right. You are exactly right. The only difference is we're going to be the third managerial switch.
Yeah.
When did theirs come? Theirs came in March, is when they got rid of Mazzarri.
Mazzarri. Maybe a little earlier, but yeah, sure. They had the illusion of a little bit that lasts a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So they held on a bit longer. So we are going to essentially second managerial switch, third installment of a manager. All before November, very likely before November. I hate doing that. I hate that. First off, if you're Daniele De Rossi, yes, contractually you are obligated to come back, but what does doing that accomplish? Because I have to tell you, it probably is going to be heading that in that direction. What a colossal waste of time that essentially says these previous 1 month and 5 days have been, because I believe Juric was appointed on the 22nd or 23rd of November, or I'm sorry, of September. What does that say about the Friedkins? In my opinion, if you are going to go in that direction, you have to then come out, the Friedkins, which is very difficult for me to see them doing, come out, put a face to it and say, listen, we have us, I, Ryan Friedkin and my father, Dan Friedkin, we have screwed this up. Our decisions were incorrect. And we apologize and we take full responsibility. We never should have sacked Daniele De Rossi. We never should have put Ivan Juric in this position. And we apologize to the supporters. I just do not see them doing that. Andy, but what bringing De Rossi back? What to me, in a way,
also,
that is
but also apologizing, what would it solve?
Nothing. Bringing back De Rossi solves nothing. But sacking Juric solves nothing. I mean, it really doesn't do anything. All you are doing is we have a gaping wound. Okay, somebody has just stepped on they had a grenade explode next to them. Their arms are off and their legs are off, and now we just have a trunk and a head attached to the neck, no limbs essentially. I got to stop the bleeding somewhere. Where do I start? The legs or where the arms used to be? Mm-hmm. To me, it doesn't really matter at this point. We're trying to prevent any further damage. I want to at least try to prevent his head from falling off. That's what I feel like we're at. All of this just seems like an exercise in mitigating this getting far worse. It's already bad, but I assure everybody, it can get much worse. It absolutely
can. No, it can get much worse. You can, I think that's the fundamental mistake that De Laurentiis made with Napoli last season. He waited and waited and waited. I think Friedkin similarly completely misread the situation. I still need to understand what went on behind the scenes. I just can't, I can't put those pieces together because Suloko's resignation was so abrupt. Juric's appointment was so abrupt. Everything just and the communication that followed Juric's appointment and the fans boycotting. It's been such a, for lack of better word, I'm sorry, but clusterfuck. Just an absolute clusterfuck. Really, like try to find me a season. And Roma have been very good at that, but trying to find me a recent season where this much had happened by the end of November, by the end of October. Mm. So I think you have to go back a long ways because this so far really feels like sort of, it just, nobody has any answers. Nobody. And that includes Roma's management, which is the most worrying part.
And again, I agree with you fully. There's also not a clear solution. I mean, this is not switching a manager and we have our problems resolved. This is not January transfer market. Oh, wow, we can get another player or two and it's problem resolved. I think if you want to find sort of a metaphor for the situation, I think Eduardo Bove is the perfect metaphor for the entire thing. People aren't going to want to say this, but Andy, I think you and I should, because this is something you have pointed out numerous times, particularly when it comes to Nicola Zalewski. Do you want to know why Eduardo Bove is succeeding? It's because he's not at Roma. It's as simple. He's not at Roma. He's not in this environment. He's in a new situation. He's in a place with less pressure. He's in a place where he has more freedom to make mistakes, where there is a far higher acceptance and tolerance for bumps in the road and allowing a player to, have his ups, have his downs. Here, he is just not able to do that for a variety of reasons. I don't want to get into it, but can we just say that frankly? Because everybody mourning this thing with Bove, he is not doing those things here. You can't just remove him as he is right now. Put him into the team.
Bove's last good performance with Roma was when Mourinho was there, probably in November, December last year. So Bove is not, once again, we are talking about circumstances that benefit some players, but circumstances that do not benefit other players. Bove was thriving up until Daniele De Rossi came in. And it was clear as day that he just did not consider the guy. Shoot him. Shoot the guy that now everybody is crying after for. So this is what I'm saying is there is so many different storylines. People seem to have so many, you know, it's funny, but when Mourinho's here, it seemed like everybody was sort of pulled in two directions. Either you were for Mourinho or you were against it. Now here, it seems like everybody has a different priority. There are those that cry after Daniel De Rossi. There are those that wanted a change in the form of another coach. There are those that are for Juric. There are those that are against Juric. There are those that wanted Bove to stay. There are those that think that Bove was useless at Roma. There's just so much stuff going on. It feels like football that is being played on the pitch comes in secondary. And here we are. Yes. We've just been dealt a huge, huge loss. We are looking at potentially sacking our manager once more at the end of October. It feels, the atmosphere feels like something akin to Preziosi's Genoa in the best of his time, you know, something, I mean, a situation where you would probably turn to good old Ballardini, who, mind you, I think was in the stands tonight. So,
oh, yeah.
This is what I'm saying, John. It's, as you said, it can get worse. And I know it can because I've experienced these hints. I've already seen them. I come from a different time. I've been there. I've done it. We've been covering this team for 6 years. We've seen signs of this. And tonight, in my opinion, was inevitable. Whether it was with Juric, De Rossi, someone else, it had to come. It was bound to come. Whatever happens, happens. But this is sort of the evidence that nothing has been working as it should be working at Roma for at least a year, if not more, if not since Budapest. I really do believe that wholeheartedly, that something after Budapest went wrong. Roma never addressed it. Tonight is the culmination of it.
I couldn't agree more. And lastly, building on the point that you made about, you know, these factions, the other thing that bothers me, and it seems to really manifest with Roma supporters, where you have this belief that just because things are going wrong now, that the previous decision you made, whether it be regarding a player, whether it be regarding a manager, for instance, it's going bad with Daniele De Rossi, 4 to 6 months later, that somehow means that Jose Mourinho should never have left. It's going bad now with Ivan Juric. That means there were no reasons to get rid of Daniele De Rossi. This thing where it's almost as if it has to be one or the other. Two things can't be true at once, where it was bad at the time and there were reasons to make a certain decision. Just because it doesn't work out now does not mean the previous decision was incorrect. You can't think that way. I mean, it's mad. It's crazy to have that belief. I mean, that is such backward thinking, in my opinion. It will just continue this cycle. I don't know what's going to happen from this. I do think Juric is going to go. They're going to sack him. If they bring De Rossi back, how much that actually changes, I truly, truly do not know. But man, the prospect of beginning the march prior to November, as you said, I this is without doubt the earliest it has been. And hopefully, the only positive, if there is any positive to be taken from tonight.
The only positive about tonight is that tonight is tonight, and that tonight is October 27th. That's the only positive. It's October 27th. There has to be something. Something has to happen, but something really has to happen. Like, there needs to be a change. There needs to be a fundamental change that will prevent me and John from coming on here and sounding exactly the same as we've sounded for the last year and a half, at least. I mean, this is what's bothering me, John, because I would love to come on here and bring something fresh to the table. I would love to come on here and talk about things that we never even dreamed to consider. And the thing is that it's impossible because this team just keeps making the same mistakes time and time again. And as unpredictable as they are just as predictable. That's the thing. They're just as predictable. Tonight was predictable. Tonight was the night that you were bound to get, given everything that you messed up, squandered, every chance, every opportunity you did not work on, every problem you ignored, every issue that you sidestepped. It came out tonight, and that's the blessing and the curse. The curse is that you're right now in the relegation zone, basically. Well, not really, but still. At the same time, the curse is that this is humiliating. This is potentially crushing, season crushing. At the same time, it's a blessing because you're still in time. But we've said it so many times. We're still in time. We can change this. We can change that. There is clean slate this, clean slate that. And yet, we've always come away from this recording studio more and more disappointed, more and more embittered at the sight of a team that is just incapable of changing.
Oh, give it a few days. Hopefully it improves, everyone. Nobody likes this. We will get through it. Until next time. Ciao.